Welcome to the Traveling Homeschool Podcast. Homeschool travel has the power to shape your family. Join us as we learn from families just like yours. We're here to share all the stories, the funny, the challenging, the heartwarming, and to learn from each other along the way.
Hello, everyone. This episode, we are here with Rachel and Greg Denning, who have 7 kids, and they've traveled for over 13 years exploring the world in 5 continents and over 39 countries. They are a part of the World School family and extraordinary family life. So, Rachel and Greg, welcome. We are so stoked to have you with us today.
Thanks, guys. We're happy to be here.
Thank you.
Yay.
All right. Well, I can't wait to just jump in because I have about 1,000 questions to ask you. But the first question is, tell us exactly how your life is structured, where you live, how you're able to travel so much, and maybe just give us an idea of what that looks like in your life.
Well, it's so funny when you ask that because I don't know what answer to give. Because we have been traveling for so long, we've experienced a lot. Like we've gone through all the ups and downs of trying to figure out a travel lifestyle. In fact, our story started with us not knowing how to do it. We were literally just trying to figure it out. And this
we had 4 kids. We started traveling with 4 kids.
4 kids, but under the age of 4. So 4 kids under the age of 4 is when we decided we should go travel the world. Like what better time, right? And so it was a lot of trial and error, and we've done it all. We've tried it all. We've experienced everything we can, you know, all the trials, all the heartaches, all the ups and downs. Currently though, I mean, this was part of our story though. We just wouldn't give up. We wouldn't give up on this dream we had of living a travel lifestyle with a family. And so go ahead.
Yeah. Speaking of that dream. So when you guys met, was this always the plan? Hey, let's have 7 kids and travel the world.
No, it was not the plan. In fact, we were the total opposite when we started. When we started our life together, we were so excited.
Well, okay. We got to back up a tiny bit. So I ended up out on my own at 16 and just broke, just trying to survive. So when we got married, I was like, what? Well, first I was just this huge accomplishment to get married. Right. and Rachel's just so amazing. And then we got a career and I got hired. I just put everything in to get this career and we got it. And we were like, I think we have arrived.
It was like your dream career.
I get a paycheck every other Friday. Like we are here, man.
We've got the 401k. We're like, we are living the American dream. And we bought our first little house and it was in a tiny little farming village up in the mountains, and we built a white picket fence to put around it. And we were like, this is the dream. We're living the dream.
We're until 65. Then maybe we'll travel.
We're arrived. We have arrived already. And it was kind of that. It's like, oh yeah, one day we'll travel. When you retire, we'll travel the world. That's how we started life.
That's a very familiar story.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
It is. And the difference is you did it. So I would love to dive into maybe the why in just a second, but let me just back up real quick. Your home base is in Atlanta and
currently
right now. And then how often do you travel throughout the year? And just give us an idea of what that looks like currently right now.
Yeah. Yep. So currently we are outside of Atlanta. We have been here since about 6 months before quarantine. So it's almost 3 years we've been here. Last year we took a 7-month road trip. So that's kind of like how we travel. we've been here for 3 years, but not all of the time. So last year we were traveling for 7 months.
Next week we roll out another 3-month road trip. And then we did our kind of a recon trip to Portugal because we're planning on moving there this year. So Rachel and I went for 14 days and it was amazing. But we'll do trips all over the place. We lead adventure trips. I lead trips for men, all over the place, adventure, you know, either wilderness or tactical training or international. We lead trips for youth. So
couple trips.
And I'll take the kids. Sometimes I'll just take a kid or two and we'll just go do something extraordinary wherever it's open right now. But now it's opening back up. We're getting back out. But
so even like, you know, we moved into this house in September of 2019. And in February, we went to Thailand for a couple's trip. And then, you know, March, basically the world closed down. And so we were in quarantine until we left on our 7-month road trip in January of 2021. So that's kind of a rough overview.
So you guys are safe. You guys have the American dream. You have everything you thought you could have ever wanted. Four children at this time, under four?
We still had
so we adopted two. Our first.
We adopted our first, and I was pregnant with our second before we started getting ideas of traveling.
Okay. Where did the idea come from? I want to know this.
So the ideas came from, I mean, in a lot of ways, I have to credit it to reading, to books. We started our relationship basically on this shared passion of reading. And we just kept reading and kept reading. I do think it was also fueled by, so I was basically reading books that were just expanding my mind. Like, oh, wow, there's another world out there, other possibilities. But you also, my husband took a trip. He took two trips that were...
Yeah, I had two opportunities to go do some humanitarian work, one in South America, one in Central America. And that was a game changer. Like you go out there and you get to serve and you get to experience things. And I'd come home just lit up like, babe, like we have to do this. We have to figure out a way for our kids to experience this. You have to come. And basically she dropped the hammer. She's like, you're not leaving this country again without me. Like I'm going next time.
I remember staying home with the kids and just kind of feeling jealous. Like, wow, this seems really cool. I want to do this. But my mindset at the time was we have small kids. I couldn't go to Peru with small kids. Like I literally remember thinking there's no way I could take small children to Peru. And so it just didn't seem like it was a possibility at the time.
So what was your first trip?
Well, so I think the catalyst for us to travel with our family actually came earlier. I was actually pregnant now with my fourth, and we took a trip together to basically the Cancun area. And while I was there, that was really my first experience out of the country. Like I'd taken a one day, maybe like a couple hour trip to Tijuana once when I was like 19.
Because from where we are now, looking back, you're like, Cancun's like Vegas, man. It's not even traveling. But like when we went there early on, we're like, this is amazing.
Yes, for sure. That's so ironic because our first trip together was Cancun. And then one of our first trips together as a family was Tulum.
We love Tulum.
So that's so ironic.
Yeah. And that first trip to Cancun was our honeymoon.
Nice. Fantastic.
Yeah.
I would just want to finish that story a little bit because this was my first time really out of the country. And this was back when you didn't have to have a passport to go there. So I didn't even have a passport still, but we went to Cancun and we actually went to church, which was the big thing for me because we went to the resorts and did all of that and it was nice, but it wasn't transformative. Yeah. But we went to church and I remember sitting in church surrounded by all these Mexican people and they were, you know, I didn't understand the language, but it was almost a spiritual experience really, because I just felt this connection to humanity, I guess is how I would describe it now. And I just so strongly felt like I'm in my 20s. This is my first time experiencing something like this. I want my kids to have this experience. And so we went back to our all-inclusive resort at, you know, the hotel. And I said to Greg, let's move to Mexico. And he said, okay. And that was it.
Oh,
and
my
we
gosh.
Just decided. And so we flew home and we just started the process. We started getting rid of stuff and selling and renting out our house. And then I had the baby because I was pregnant with our fourth. And along the way, we decided, because we had some friends, they convinced us, they're like, you should move to Costa Rica. So we actually decided to move to Costa Rica and then we drove there. So we packed up our four kids in a SUV and we drove 6,000 miles.
There was no Google Maps or anything like that. We're like, We hope the roads
we didn't even
connect.
Have a cell phone to use.
It was insane.
That's gosh.
Yeah, I love that. I love it. So you just had the idea and then you did it.
Yeah.
And you just got it. And where were you living at the time?
We were living in Utah.
Yep.
So wow. We drove from Utah to Costa Rica and it took us about 6 weeks. We went slow. And yeah, that was our first international travel experience with our four children under the age of four.
So you had mentioned that one of your obstacles, or I guess one of the thoughts that you had in your head in the beginning was traveling with younger kids
mm-hmm.
was an issue, but then you just packed up and moved to Costa Rica. So was it just that experience that you had at church that sort of like enlightened you or whatever? And then it was just sort of like, you just had to do it. Could you just maybe elaborate on,
yeah,
on that?
We were still terrified, you guys.
Right.
We got to the Arizona-Mexico border.
And we were
and
like,
I'm about to cross. I'm gripping the steering wheel. I'm like, I think I'm going to break this thing. My stomach's in knots. I'm like, what are we doing? I have this cute little family and like, we're going to die. And we cross the border and there's nothing for hours in the desert there. And then I'm like, oh, what the heck were we so afraid of? Like, this is awesome.
I love it.
So wow. Yeah, we still had our fears, but it was partly that experience in Mexico. And then partly we had talked to this friend. He was an older guy and he lived in Costa Rica and he was like, it's safe. It's wonderful. You should go there. And so that helped assuage some of the fears for sure. But I remember even packing our vehicle, like we had it totally loaded up. And I remember thinking like, are they going to have diapers down there? Like, I just didn't know. I was so clueless to everything. You know, we didn't know if there'd be a road the whole way or if we could find the things we needed. And, you know, that's because our reality was so limited. We just had no clue of what the rest of the world was like, me especially.
And now we've done that drive now multiple times. And the Pan-American Highway. Yeah, we just did it last year. The Pan-American Highway is amazing now. It's toll roads. They're super nice. You just cruise, no problems. Yeah. And this first rodeo, one of the most memorable things, we crossed the border into Nicaragua. The Pan-American Highway, like the freeway going through Central America, had potholes the size of a Jeep. I mean, we're just
we're around the potholes because they were so huge. So we're driving around the potholes like this.
It was unreal. Like, wow. It's just so cool.
Wow. But that's, you know,
amazing.
What though?
I love it.
Doing
you didn't
that,
fall into any of the potholes, so that's good.
Oh yeah, we went through a bunch of them. We had every kind of adventure imaginable. And border crossings are unreal. You never knew what you're going to get. Sometimes they, you know, have everything orderly and in order, and then other times, one time we crossed this border. And this is way back, so everything's different now. We get to this one border, and there was one single bar and one dude standing there, and he just kind of lifts the gate and like, let me look at you. Okay, go ahead.
That was it.
Like,
oh,
this
my
is
gosh.
Amazing.
Yeah. Wow.
But making that trip, I mean, I remember when we arrived in Costa Rica, just having this huge sense of accomplishment and confidence and like, we did it. We had this huge dream that we didn't know if it was possible to achieve. It seemed so unrealistic. It seemed so big. And we did it. And I just, the sun was setting when we pulled in and it was like so perfect and gorgeous. And I was like, this is amazing. We crossed borders, but not just physical borders. We crossed like psychological borders. It like changed our mindset.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then just out of curiosity, did you have a job lined up there or how were you able to financially make that move?
So at the time, actually, when we had our second child and we started thinking about this as a possibility, he switched his career and he did start investing in real estate and the stock market. And that worked great.
Until
we moved to Costa Rica in 2007. And in 2008, the stock market crashed.
So we lost
everything. We lost all of our investments and all of our income.
What?
And,
okay.
Yeah.
Let me just back up. So you moved there in 2007, then the financial crisis came in 2008, about a year later. And you're still in Costa Rica at that time?
Yeah.
Yep.
We lived there about a year before it happened.
And then what happens next?
Well, then
you proceed to lose everything.
Yes. And feel slightly depressed and have people say
way beyond slightly. It was
yeah.
It was bad.
It was horrible. And we had to move back to the States to get a job pretty much because we had no income, and friends and family member were basically like, welcome back to reality. Like,
told you
know,
you.
Told you so.
Told you.
Oh, yeah. You get the told
trying
you
to
so.
Live the dream.
Yeah. 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 It's yeah. They're like, that's a pipe dream. People can't do that. You just have to, you know, follow this path. And we were like, man, are we crazy? And it was,
yeah,
it was totally. A low point, really frustrating. What was really cool though, I think this is valuable for everybody listening, for all of us. Like we lost all the money, all the income, everything. And you hit this, you're so afraid of worst case scenarios, right? And that was a worst case scenario. And we hit it there and we had to stop and realize, okay, but wait a minute, what do we still have? Like, we're still super healthy. We're still totally in love with each other. We have a great marriage, great kids. Like, we have opportunities. Okay. Yeah. That sucks. It was horrible. We lost it all. But we still have each other.
We still have
opportunities.
Mattered.
We still have all the things that matter.
Yeah.
And when we kind of got fierce about it, we're like, man, we still have a dream. Like, let's figure this out.
We did still have a dream, but let me back up a second. Cause I think we lost hope in it for a bit.
That's true.
We had to go back. We had to get the job. And then we were at this kind of point of trying to decide, well, what are we going to do? Because he got offered this really great lucrative. At first he was waiting tables. That's what he did when he came back.
I was doing construction work and waiting tables. I'm like, I'll do anything for my family. It was brutal.
But yeah. Then he got offered this really lucrative position, and we could have bought a house as well, because I mean, the market was slumped. There were, I remember like neighborhoods just sitting there of brand new homes empty because the stock market and the real estate market had crashed. So we had this point of like, okay, we could take this job offer that's very lucrative, and we could buy a house, and we could just go back to normal life and be like, oops, that was a mistake. Like, you know, we tried to live a dream, didn't work. But we said, you know what? No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to give up on this dream. We're going to go for it. And so we sold the rest of whatever we had, which wasn't much, but we did sell my wedding ring. That was one thing we sold. Mm. And we bought one-way tickets to the Dominican Republic, having never been there in our life. And we flew and took off to the Dominican Republic. And we had this vague plan of making money through blogging and working online and doing freelance work. And so we're like, okay, let's go for it. Let's try it. Now, it wasn't the best plan, honestly. Because this was before there were blogging was new. So that's why we're like, okay, we could do this travel blogging thing, but it was still a brand new thing. So there wasn't a lot of research available. So when we're making plans to do something, you were going off a lot of faith because you didn't really know what it was like in a country. And so we'd done as much research as we could and like, yeah, they have internet and this and that and the other. But when we got there and we actually found a house, like we didn't have internet. And in fact, sometimes we didn't have electricity and, you know, Greg would have to walk into town to go use the internet cafe that was like so slow. It was ridiculous. So the financial part of it didn't work as we planned, but we had this amazing experience while we were there. We call it our Walden experience because we lived in a coconut grove. Our kids would climb coconut trees all
the
time. You
lived in a coconut grove?
Yeah. right on the beach. Like
it was our little cottage, our neighbors from Italy, and this coconut grove in the ocean. And that's it. It was just us. Mm. It was paradise.
It was amazing. It was a really, really special time where we just, I don't know, we got a lot of clarity and we got really close and we learned a lot of skills. You know, we learned to be a little more independent and a little more self-reliant. And so it was a very special time. But then obviously, you know, the money always comes into play. We ran out of money again. And we eventually ended up moving back to, well, we moved to Atlanta. We came back to Atlanta. Well, this was our first time in Atlanta. We're here now, but we came to Atlanta for the first time.
Okay. So let me pause. So you, you go back home from Costa Rica and then you get a lucrative job. Offer. And then how long are you there? And then you go to the Dominican Republic, and then are you still working, or did you quit that job when you went to the Dominican Republic?
Yeah, we quit everything. We want to just go again.
Well,
I know this, like,
it sounds insane. It does
sound insane. And I wouldn't even, if people are like, hey, we're thinking about doing what you did. And we're like, dude, don't.
No, don't do it. Don't do it the way
you would tell people don't do it.
But not the way we did it, because we were just so impulsive and like
we didn't know.
We had this ready, fire, aim philosophy. It was like we still do, right? But we're a little better about it now. We just would come up with these ideas and we don't regret anything we did because it was all part of our path and our journey. But we honestly are like, wow, I can't believe we did that. That was like so stupid or so, you know, like brave in a crazy way. So it's funny because we do laugh about that. We're like, don't do it the way we did it, but do follow your dream. You know,
It seems like, you guys had everything you wanted and then you, chose to live this life of uncertainty where you had so many obstacles. When you think like, what's the worst that could happen? Probably most of those things happened.
Yep.
But when I see you guys, of course, like the listeners can't see you guys, but like you guys seem very much in love and happy and excited about life. And so do you think that had you not done some of these things and followed your heart, that you would have still found that happiness between yourselves with your family? It seems like you guys could probably be happy anywhere, but it almost seems like maybe doing this and going through all this hard stuff has given you guys the excitement with your own relationship, to help in your marriage and stuff. Would you?
Undoubtedly.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And our family dynamic, our kids, right. Who we are as people, I know is drastically different than who we would be otherwise.
Well, I know without a doubt that who we are, I would not be the same person I am if we hadn't have gone through all of those things. And that's, you know, that's one of the reasons I say we don't regret anything we've done, even though even myself, I look at it thinking, wow, it wasn't the brightest idea always, but I don't regret it because it taught us so much. Like going through those experiences, we've had experience where we've literally had nothing. We've spent every last cent and we had nothing. And being in that situation, like it changes you. It changes who you are. It changes the way you think about the world. It changes your levels of faith and trust. And it's really amazing. And so I don't know. It's just, there's no way we'd be who we are if we hadn't have gone through everything we have gone through.
Yeah. That's so inspiring.
Well, and this, the story, the way we tell the story right now, it makes it sound like a low light reel, like all these low points real quick. It was off the charts. Unbelievable. We met people and saw and experienced things and places that just transform you. You begin to see how beautiful this earth is and how wonderful the people are. And it changes your heart. It changes your soul. It expands your mind. Like you can never go back to your former reality. Mm-hmm. And most of it was just highlight after highlight after highlight of beautiful experiences. And then because of our own mistakes and trying to figure things out and the global economy at the time, like we were still figuring that out, which we did. And now it's like off to the races. But it was so wonderful and so formative for our family in the ways of education and personal growth and family growth and for our marriage. Like it was so beautiful and so wonderful.
Yeah. I have chills. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you could just, would there be like one concrete thing that you can say that the overall experience has shaped and molded your kids? If you can think of just one thing.
Just one?
I'm sure there's like a list.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's one that just really stands out, like specifically how it shaped your kids.
Well, I would think that if there's one thing, it's a pattern, pattern of things. And it's kind of this approach to living, which is to pursue opportunity, I guess, to go after those chances because you don't get them back. And that's in some ways, that is something that has guided us because one of the things that led to us traveling was my father was diagnosed with cancer when Greg and I met. So basically the same week we met and my dad and my mom invited us to go on to a trip to Portugal with them when we were newlyweds and we turned them down because we were like, oh, we can't afford it. We want to save money. You know, we had all these excuses and we're like, we'll travel with them later when we have more money. But my dad died and we never got to take a trip with him. And so that's always been this thing that's, you know, kind of a motivating force for us.
We've regretted that small decision. Like we would do anything to be able to go back and put that trip on a credit card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how stupid and short-sighted. And now that and other experiences as catalysts is like, man, you've got to take advantage of opportunities that are in front of you. And we taught that to our kids and they've gained massive amounts of confidence and competence
and skills.
And skills. They're all doing cool, crazy stuff as teens now. And people are like, what in the world?
Oh,
and
tell us. Like, tell us about what your kids are doing.
Well, our oldest daughter, she's moved out now. She lives in Texas and she's been working with babies that have shaken syndrome, baby shaken syndrome. Mm-hmm. She just is so into, she loves working with people that have Down syndrome or autism. In fact, I think she's taking a job working with someone that has autism. And she's just so outgoing and so friendly and so loving. Our 18-year-old son, he's now doing stunt acting.
He's a professional stuntman already.
Yeah.
So he's being, sometimes he gets paid $1,000 a day to be on set and doing, rolling downstairs and being in fight scenes and stuff. Our 16-year-old son right now he's actually working on a farm for the summer because he's saving money. Well, actually three of our older kids are saving up money to go climb Kilimanjaro in September with Greg. So they're all, two of them are in Utah working and then our daughter's going out there and they're working to save up to pay for their own trip to Kilimanjaro,
which was the deal. I mean, we could have paid for them, but I'm like, nah, this is a chance. I'm like, hey, here's this opportunity. Yeah. It's $6,000 a pop. You have to get in great shape and you have to pay your own way. You guys want in. And all three of them were like, we're in. Let's do this.
So your guys' lifestyle has not influenced them at all.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. Right.
That's amazing.
I would love to get back to the story. So that's fine. No, that's great. So you are in Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
And then you move back.
Yeah.
Right.
So we ran out of money and we're like, okay, let's go back to the States again. This time we came to the Atlanta area and you did some temp work and some other jobs like that. And then we found a job working with leprosy affected people in India. And again, same time, you got offered two jobs at the very same time. One of them was a sales position. Who knows what it was doing?
The same week where they offered me like a shoe allowance, a laptop allowance, my own truck, a clothing allowance. Like it was the whole thing. It was like, just come crush this. And then the other one offered us
$100,000 base salary plus commissions,
all that stuff. And then the other one, go ahead.
And then the other job offer was working with the leprosy affected in India. And they were going to pay us $25,000 a year. But they would cover our housing and stuff. And we were like, let's take that job.
So obviously you're the one in India, right?
Obviously, right?
Wow.
So we took that job. They flew us over there. We lived in India for 5 months. It was amazing and
hard.
And I ended up finding out I was pregnant with my fifth child on the airplane flight over. I was sick.
On the air flight. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Did you have a pregnancy test in your pocket? What happened?
No,
did this
happen? Just throwing up.
We were leaving for the airport and I threw up and then I was like sick the whole time. And I suspected, but I didn't know for sure. But yeah, when we got there, found out I was pregnant with our fifth. And so we were there 5 months. It was supposed to be a long-term thing. Like they originally said, we want someone that will be here for 10 years. And we were like, okay, yeah, that's us. We'll move to India for 10 years. Like, why not? But then it's not like he was unexpected, but he kind of was unexpected, I guess, this pregnancy. And they were like, yeah, we're not so sure we want you having a baby in India. And I was like, yeah, I'm not so sure I want to have a baby in India. And so we ended up, plus they were restructuring some things in the organization. And so after 5 months, we ended up coming back to the States. Now,
my mom, we got to be quick on this detail because this will be a 10-hour podcast.
That's great. Yeah. No, I love it.
I'm already in my mind skipping all, like I'm already going through, nope, skip. There's just too many stories, but we got to get to the main narrative.
Her mom had remarried and moved to Alaska. And so we thought, we're leaving in India. And we're like, Let's go. Which again, Alaska,
we're skipping.
Man.
We're skipping all the highlight reel because there were so many amazing. Cool things that happened in India, like that
life changing.
I am writing a series of memoirs. Like India would be its own memoir because there's so many things that happened.
Yeah, it was so special. And again, every place you go, if you're open to it, every place you go can be completely transformative.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
you can go away as a different person.
Mm-hmm.
If you're open to it, right? And if you connect with even just one individual and every time you tell a story, I'm like, oh, I remember that family and oh, that person and these experiences that just shape you and mold you if you're open to it, right? And you can't travel. Like we meet traveling families now and they spend all their time looking at their devices. They got the phone out and they're like, you just missed the coolest thing ever. You're like, dude, this app makes me look like a cat. Like, right.
Yeah, but our kids were before the iPhone era, so they didn't have them until much later, thankfully. I can't imagine traveling now with devices and stuff.
Yeah. So then you end up in Alaska.
Yeah.
So we flew back to Atlanta and then we bought a van and we drove to Alaska. So
Of course you did.
Again, and spectacular, right? To drive all the way across the U.S. and then all the way up they call it the Alcan.
The Alcan.
So all the way through Alberta and British Columbia into Alaska. Everyone should
do that.
Great
drive. It's an amazing unreal. Drive.
I've never been to Alaska. I don't think either of us have.
No.
It's off the charts, really cool. Man.
It's a great state. We got there in the summertime. And of course, it's light until practically midnight, and we lived there about a year and it was amazing. We loved it.
Did you find that you had preconceived ideas about places and then when you went there it was completely every time, different?
Only every time.
Every single time.
Exactly.
Where now after so many like differences, like, well, this was not at all what we thought it would be. We finally have learned to like, and we taught our kids this, like, don't expect anything. Just go with this total open mind and heart and say, what is this place? And what do these people have to offer? And how can we love them and serve them? And how can we learn from them? Like, what's here? And so now we go with curiosity instead of, well, why isn't this more like this? I thought it should be here. In the States, we do this. Why don't we just go like, wow, what's here?
Yeah.
And it's such a great way to travel.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
that's great. Okay. Well, so then what happens after Alaska?
I'll just brief the details. It was an unbelievable year. We one night just got in this horrible, horrible car accident. This teenager was just hot rodding his car, wasn't paying attention. And we just gone to this little activity with friends. We were four blocks from our house. There's nobody in the sleepy little fishing village. And so we're just driving home. The kids were all asleep. So we bundle them up, set them in the car, didn't put seatbelts on. And we're driving on our roads. Like I'm maybe going 15 miles an hour. And this kid just T-bones us. And it spins the whole car around. And I'm like, whoa, what just happened? And I had been an EMT and stuff. And so I go right into medical mode. And so I'm going to jump out of the van to run around the sliding door and check all my kids. And I throw open my door and I jump out. And to just my utter horror, our three-year-old daughter's laying there on the other side of the ditch in the weeds. She'd been ejected from the van. Right. And you just, it's the most gut-wrenching thing you can ever imagine. Right. And so I go running over to her and I start assessing her, and she was conscious, luckily. And she's like, what hurts? My head hurts and my leg hurts. And I said, point to your leg. And I looked down and she'd snapped her femur in half. Right. And anyways, there's a whole bunch more details. We call that our horrible night of miracles, right? Because it was just terrible, but so many miracles. We could have lost the kids. And she and I took a helicopter and she got big surgery and full body cast for 14 weeks through the winter in Alaska, right?
Oh,
this little pink full body cast from both ankles all the way to her armpits, right? And again, all transformative and precious. And that daughter now is almost 16 and just an absolute rock star. And since that day, I've never been able to get mad at her. But she's the perfect child anyway. But you can't get mad. You're like, I could have lost this girl. Like, it's just amazing. But it just changed everything for us and everyone that was around us and knew it. Like, you stop and realize how precious life is and how fragile it all is. And again, one more solid reminder to really live while we're alive.
Yeah. Well, because at the time we had already been thinking about what our next adventure would be, you know, because we didn't want to stay in Alaska long term. And we thought about moving to Thailand or moving to Hawaii. And we came up with this other idea of why don't we liked driving. We really did like driving from Utah to Costa Rica. And we're like, why don't we drive from Alaska to Argentina? Mm. Yeah, that sounds cool. And so this was really an impetus for us to do that. Like, let's do it. Well, for one thing, they totaled the van. And so we had to get a new vehicle and we're like, let's buy this big truck that we can go overlanding with. Yeah. And so that's kind of,
I was like, good riddance. I hate minivans. Yeah. Man. Yeah.
So that's what we ended up doing after she healed and she got out of the cast. And of course, by then we were tired of the Alaska winter with a body cast and everything. And we were ready to go. So in April, I think this was now, well, and we had had our baby. So now we have 5 kids. And I think April 2011, we left Alaska and started driving south with the ultimate goal of getting to Argentina.
But something must have happened.
We got a super fast track this. I'll jump in here. So we wander for the next several months all the way through Mexico. Again, so now many stories and experiences.
At this point, now we have an insurance settlement. So this is what we're using to travel with. Okay. We're like, hey, now we've got some money. Let's go travel.
So we go all the way to Guatemala. We went to Guatemala to visit a couple of friends. We planned on staying 2 weeks and we ended up staying for a year and a half and co-founding this humanitarian organization to help the local indigenous people. It was off the charts. Such a special, special time.
We
got to keep going.
I know. We bought a house, which is the house we're now remodeling. We talked to you about before. So we have a house in Guatemala now because of that.
And then Rachel, we got pregnant with the 6th child and we decided we just felt like we wanted to keep moving south. So we went to Costa Rica for the second time, again, Nicaragua in between, which is amazing, incredible. Then Costa Rica, where Sage was born. In Costa Rica, we stayed there for a few months and then met some travelers from Europe. And this girl came in, she's like, I have to go home because I can't afford Costa Italy. Rica. I'm like, whoa, you're from Europe and you're saying you can't afford Costa Rica? Like what? Because I always had this idea, right? Here, talking about what we talked about earlier, these conceptions. We had this conception that Europe was so expensive. And she's like, oh no, it's like where I live in Tuscany is way cheaper than Costa Rica. And I'm like, we are out of here. So we sold our truck.
So we flew
to Europe.
By this time, we'd been on this Alaska to Argentina trip with the stopover in Costa Rica and Guatemala. I mean, it'd been 3 years now. And we love Latin culture. We love the people. We loved being there, but it felt very comfortable. Like it was known to us. We didn't feel uncomfortable anymore in this situation. The thought of going to Europe, like it terrified us at the time because we're like, we don't speak German. We don't speak Hungarian. Like, what are we going to do? And we just knew, like for us, that's how we know what's the next adventure to take. It's something that's kind of frightening a little bit. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Once you get comfortable,
but also scary. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's it. Once you get comfortable, then you know it's time. Then you usually feel it. It starts to come up and you're like, okay, what's next?
That's exactly it. And that's what happened. And so we left Costa Rica and we flew to Germany and we sold our truck, sold everything we had there, and we just moved to Germany.
We had left for visa reasons, lived in Morocco, which was just unreal. And then went back to England, where she was pregnant with our 7th, and then our 7th was born in Germany. And then we spent 2 years just wandering all over Western and Eastern Europe, which was just a dream, an absolute dream.
We love Europe.
Yeah. And then started leading more and more trips. Right. And so, and then we kind of came back to the States for business stuff and in and out. But since then we've led trips. I took my son up to the base camp of Everest. I took my other son and we circled Iceland. I took my son and daughter and we rode ponies across Mongolia. We lead a World War II expedition, humanitarian expeditions. We chartered a private yacht for couples and sailed around the Galapagos. Every year she and I do this big trip and usually with other couples, we lead a couples trip, and we'll go do something spectacular. Yeah. We hiked the Inca Trail into Machu Picchu. And so it's just been this wild, wild, like dream life, extraordinary life on our terms, right? And it's not for everybody. but we're like, what is our dream? Okay, we're going to go get it. And this is our dream, to take our kids, to have these experiences, to see the world, to see people, to serve, to make a difference, to learn, to grow. And we're living it. And it was hard to get there, mostly because of all of our own mistakes, right? But
right.
But
and
we're
so,
living it.
And to answer a question people are probably going to have is like, okay, well, how did you start paying for it? Because, you know, we used the insurance settlement, but we still had this dream of building an online income. And like, you know, way back in the day, I remember reading these websites talking about blogs and how, you know, they were the new thing and it was going to be so cool. And so I started a blog early on, and I blogged for a long time about it. And then that kind of built up some stuff. I started, because of that, I learned web design, I learned copywriting, I learned email marketing, I learned social media. And so along the way, as we went, blogging about our travels is kind of how it started. I just gained all these skills and we were able to start building a business. And then we created courses and then we started doing coaching and then we started, you know, doing, I don't know, all the other stuff we do, which is a lot. But so essentially we were able to build this business over time with the skills we were gaining. And so now we have a fully location independent income because of the business we built. So
yeah. And I can't wait to ask you a bunch of questions about everything that you're doing online and podcast and coaching and all that. One question I have before we get into that is, what would be like the number one advice that you would give to a homeschool family who wants to do basically maybe their own version of whatever it is that you did? So they want to travel a lot more, whether it's like they want to buy an RV and they just want to like travel the world and do that full time. Or if it's maybe they have a home base somewhere and they want to, you know, just travel a lot more. If you had just like one piece of advice, what would you give?
Well,
I got mine.
Yeah.
I'll go. The coolest part of this whole journey is just trying to pick some kind of experience you want to have. Like let yourself dream, like get a, mm-hmm. I have my life list right here sitting on my desk. Like, I've got hundreds of cool things I want to do, right? And I go checking them off. And you let yourself dream a little bit and like, what experience do I want to have? What experience do I want to have with my children? What experiences would be transformative for them? And you start dreaming. And it might, like, honestly, it might be down the road, or it might be the next state over, or it might be on the other side of the globe. But you just start exploring that and dreaming a little bit. And most of us stop ourselves short. We said, well, man, there's no way I can do that. And so we kill the dream before it even gets off the ground. And so the piece of advice is, well, switch the question, say, well, how could I do that? How could that be possible? Is there any way I can make that happen? So we do a home base now, right? We rent it out while we go. We go travel and we come back. Where before we just sold everything, loaded up what we can and just hit the road. And maybe some people want to try that too. I mean, we've tried the RV, we've tried, mm-hmm. I mean, campers, we've tried camping, we've tried Airbnb, overland. We've tried everything except the sailboat so far. And we will do that one day, but like, just try it, pick something and give it a go. Maybe it's a week, maybe it's a month. I know a lot of people, they're like, let's just take a year and see how it goes. Mm-hmm. And you just try something, see what works for you and be willing to adjust and adapt.
I can imagine that when the pandemic happened, it really threw some of your plans through a loop. So,
yeah.
I mean, you guys are used to adversity and overcoming problems. And, but how did you guys manage the pandemic and your travel schedule?
So by coincidence or divine direction, we had just recently moved to this house we're in now before the pandemic hit. And we did take a trip to Thailand in February of 2020. And had a great time. And we did have a lot of trips already planned that year. We were supposed to go to Kilimanjaro. We were supposed to go to China and study Shaolin martial arts. Yeah. We were supposed to, I don't know, there was a couple other things we were going to do.
Mongolia again.
Yeah. And so those trips got canceled. And for us, yeah, I mean, that we didn't like that. But it was a great time for us to just stay in one place, I guess. And so we spent some time doing that. And I'm not going to lie that there were some people that didn't enjoy it as much. You know, we had,
it's understandable.
Yeah. You know, we've got a couple of kids, especially that have more of the travel bug than others. And they wanted to travel, but it was that was still a good experience for us to just say, okay, you know what? We have to focus on finding local adventures. We have to focus on finding meaning in the day-to-day things without the big, exciting, flashy stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's a valuable skill to have, and it's something everyone needs to have. And so that was kind of our focus, most of it, focusing on developing and improving our skills and, you know, dreaming, getting clarity, improving ourselves.
I can imagine that some of the people listening could possibly just be even thinking about homeschooling for the first time, let alone like traveling and taking their families out of the country. So for those people, how did you guys manage like their education? And it seems like you guys are really good at kind of adapting and figuring things out. But there's a lot of fear and anxiety in making sure that your kids get the things that, you know, they quote need to have for a good education. How did you guys manage their education and organize that?
I wish we had a video clip to answer this of us packing 400 pounds of books through an airport with like five little kids, right? Two of them who are asleep. And you're like, you look like this huge, embarrassing pack mule, like dragging kids and stuff through the airport. But we always carried books.
We took a lot of books with us.
And we like tried to learn.
Especially in the early days.
But we've hired tutors wherever we are. We get classes wherever we are. And now it's just gotten easier and easier because there's so many resources wherever you are and online where we've hired like some of the best musicians in the world that are playing in Paris, do classes
online lessons for your kids.
Or a voice teacher who just sings like a bird comes over to the house here in Atlanta and teaches voice lessons. Or we're doing martial arts, or we're doing firearms training, or like anything you think of. We're constantly learning languages. And
there are so many resources available now that I know it can feel overwhelming for parents, but if you're just willing to be aware and do some research, like there's not anything out there you couldn't find to help. And you really just have to pay attention to your kid. If you look at your children and notice what it is that they're interested in, that they're passionate about, that they care about, that they want to do, that they're good at, even what they're struggling in, that's all you have to do. Pay attention to those things and then say, okay, where can I find a resource that can help with this? Yeah. And that's essentially all I do. I mean, I'm just regularly paying attention. And about every 6 months, at least, I'm doing this an overhaul again of like, okay, where is everyone at? What are they lacking in? What are they strong in? What do they need? Do they need a math app, or do they need an online voice teacher? Or do they need, you know, what are they interested in? What do they want to do? And if I can find those things for them, then they grow and they develop and they blossom in a beautiful way. And I'm not checking where they're supposed to be. And, you know, if they're up to grades, I don't worry about that stuff. I just worry about how they are developing individually. Like, where are they at and have they made improvement? That's what matters most.
Yeah. I think, there's a theme in a pattern in your guys's family and in your relationship. And I feel like fear just stops so many of us from doing the things we really want to do. Fear, expectations that we feel like are placed on us. What is it? Like, what is it that helps you guys bypass that fear and do the things, follow your heart and really live the life you want to live?
Yeah, well, I think tying back into what we were talking about before with the failures we did face, that really plays a part for us. We still get afraid. I'm not going to say that we don't, but we have experience with what lies on the other side of that fear. We know that when we push through the fear on the other side of it, that's where everything we want is. Yeah, like that's how you get to it. And so I think because we have gone through that, we have failed so many times and big failures that were painful. We're like, we've done that. And in the end, it wasn't really that bad. Like, we lived, we survived, we're here.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful.
That's great. So I'd love to hear what you're up to now. Talk to us about everything that you have going on. Obviously, you have a lot, but I'd love just to give you an opportunity to tell us all what you're up to.
Love it. I want to, and this will tie in with the education piece. So I wanted to kind of share this. The whole our approach to life and education is built on fundamental principles, right? Mm-hmm. So we want to earn a legitimate world-class education for ourselves as parents and people. We want to help our children earn a world-class education. Like there was never a time when we're like, as long as they graduate from this thing or pass these tests, then we're good. I'm like, that's for our family, that doesn't cut it. Like we want to get a genuine world-class education and we want to be the very best version of ourselves. We want to be constantly learning and growing. Like there's never a graduation from education. There's never, and we get excited, like giddy excited about courses or classes or opportunities or tutors or like, oh, wow, there's this opportunity right here and it's going to be crazy hard. Where do I sign up? Like, show me where to pay. Like, this is all. And the kids are like that too. All of them. And it's amazing. And they're like, yeah, well, oh, big adventure. Cool opportunity. Let's go. I'm in. And we take that approach to life. So we spend a ton of time learning, right? The listeners can't see the library behind us here, but like we've been about books since our very first date. And I've averaged a book a week for over 2 decades, right? Just never stop learning. And then that just feeds into everything you can share and everything you learn and everything you do. And it gives this guidance to your decisions. So we're constantly reading and learning new languages, learning instruments, learning any kind of skills, whatever, right? So that's very active part of our way of being, right? Just kind of the rhythms, the routines, the rituals we have set up. And then, you know, doing work. So the work I get to do now is I'm a life and business coach, executive level business coach, right? So I get to help just great men level up physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, socially, financially, right? So it's just leveling up, living life to your fullest, right? Maximizing potential.
But then also because we have, well, 4 teenagers, our oldest is almost going to be 20, but you know, we're still in the midst of raising our family essentially. And because we're passionate about education and we're picky about the quality of the education right now, that is a part of what we do in our business. He teaches a class every week called Habits of a Successful Life, which basically focuses on the habits and skills teenagers need to manage their lives, like to learn how to deal with stress, to learn how to set goals and achieve them, and to learn how to manage their time and like all these things that they need to do everything else in life. You know, that's where we saw was missing. And so we created that for our kids. And now that's something that he does with, I think there's like 60 teenagers mm-hmm. in there.
So as long as I decided this years ago, I'm like, as long as I have youth, I'm going to teach a class that's just awesome for youth. And I'm going to lead trips for youth.
Yeah.
Cause they're life changing. Right. So I'm like, I'm doing it for my kids. Invite all your friends to come along. And it's like, it's cool. So that we have the class, the book, we read books and mm-hmm. discussions. Then we have epic adventures. We're doing a youth retreat here in a few weeks. Right. And so we're just keeping that piece. We're involving the kids,
our own kids,
yeah. And then all our friends and whoever else wants to join in this kind of journey of growth and mm-hmm. really living. That's just one piece of it.
Yeah. And then we have another thing that's similar, but it's kind of for older age group. We call it the Mentoring Accountability Program. And it's more of a group.
Small mentoring. Group, really trying to help youth launch into adulthood.
Launching.
A lot of youth and young adults are struggling so hard to launch.
Yeah, we have two of them that are in that phase right now. A 20-year-old and an 18-year-old, and they're trying to figure it out.
Yeah, it's tough. It's really tough.
It is tough.
The dynamics of society right now are crazy and making it hard for them. So a lot of youth are struggling to launch. So that's kind of a launch course there.
This is a side note, but have you noticed any differences with teens pre-pandemic and during or post-pandemic with some of those issues?
Mm-hmm. I think the pandemic was exacerbation or magnification. It took things that were starting and made them much, much worse. So there's some massive, mm-hmm. massive problems. And in my line of work, I get to work with great people, right? Great people, great families. But I also, because I can help every week, I get tragic stories, emails, messages, pleas for help, suicides, suicidal intent, like just depression, a drug, every kind of imaginable problem. Yeah. And it's tough. And we have to be so diligent in making sure our families are solid and that we're solid, that we're in a good place. Mm-hmm. Cause you can't draw from an empty well. And so if mom and dad are running empty, then they've got so little to give to their kids and the kids are running empty and they don't know how to refill. We've got to be on top of it to make sure we're in a good place where we can really live life well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. And I believe you have a podcast as well, right?
Two of them.
That's what I thought too. That's great. Yeah. Tell us about them.
Yeah. So together, Greg and I do the Extraordinary Family Life podcast. And we basically talk about everything related to an extraordinary family life, marriage, parenting, dream setting and achieving. We have a very holistic approach to life and education and everything we do. And so our podcast is always very holistic. It's addressing all of those areas of making life extraordinary.
And the name of the podcast is what? Say that again.
It's Extraordinary Family Life Podcast.
Okay. And then the other podcast?
Yeah. The Man Podcast, just Be the Man. So it's Be the Man Podcast. So I just all things manliness. It was about 10 years ago when we were in, maybe 11 years ago now, or 12. Geez, the years are flying. 12 years ago, I think. We were in Guatemala and I just thought, I just had this really strong impression. I'm like, I want to help men really level up and just be men all around. Best husbands, best fathers, best leaders, best businessmen and providers and protectors. Just be great men. And so I built a whole masterclass around that. And I lead a community, a kind of our tribe of men around that. Just great men striving to be their best self. I do trips with them.
Doing
another one in a couple of weeks here. Going into some slot canyons and rappelling and canyoneering. But this whole podcast, I'm interviewing great guys, experts in whatever their domain is, whatever their sphere of influence, great stories. And then it's interviewing those guys and then sharing the things I've learned in 25 years of voracious study in human peak performance and experimentation and stories from around the world, just sharing all that just to help men just reach their potential.
Any trips around Southern California soon?
We need to, right? We need to do some trips over there. It's funny. I get recommendations like that. Well, I have my own. I got my own list here. I'm like, I got all these places to go. But then I talk to people and they're like, what about this? What about this? I just interviewed this guy on my podcast. He is a full-time instructor for how to survive in the wilderness, right? Cool, cool skills. And after the podcast, during the podcast, I was like, hey, we should do a trip together. Just plan a specific trip. We just go into the wilderness and we survive. Afterwards, I'm like, where would you go if you could pick any place on earth to leave this trip already going? He's like, let's go to Sweden. So I was like, boom, let's go into the wilderness in Sweden.
And be Vikings out there in the wilderness Switzerland. That's so awesome. Yeah.
So cool.
Oh, Sweden. No, not Sweden. Sweden.
Yeah. Before we sort of wrap up, because we are sort of at the tail end of everything, Janet, are there any other questions? I know you have a list of questions. Did we hit them all or do you have any more?
No, but I'm now a super fan. I'll be listening to the podcast and looking into the trips for some of our kids and us. And I'm so thankful to meet you guys. You guys are so inspiring. There are things in my own life that, you know, fears and safety and being comfortable, you know, are really important to me. And we've had adventures, but I've kind of gotten into a rut. You know, I think that's also like a very feminine quality to have, you know? Yeah, and so I'm just inspired by you guys and so thankful for what you're doing because I know I'm probably not the only one. So thank you for all the risks you've taken and hard things you've gone through and lessons you've learned so that you can help teach others. It's awesome.
Thank you.
That's one thing. If I could, I'd like to just kind of shout this message from the rooftops is like, we're not that special or anything. Right. But I'm like, I always just think if we can do it, then anyone can do it. And it's just kind of being really deliberate and deciding, you know what, this is something I really want to do and I'm going to figure out a way to do it. Mm-hmm. And if we've done anything, it's that.
Greg, I always like to get to the heart and the nitty gritty of what drives people. So like, have you always been this way? Like when you were a kid, were you like, I could do anything, like no. take risks. Like were your parents like that? Like where does this come from? Or is it completely opposite? Were your parents very non-adventurous and very safe? And so you decided I'm going to be different or.
I grew up in a very broken family. It's marriage, divorce, marriage, divorce, marriage, divorce, marriage, divorce. So stepdads came and went and it was terrible. I left at 16. Mm-hmm. As a family, we did two vacations, one little road trip to Yellowstone and one little road trip to Galveston, Texas. And that was it. That's all the adventuring we ever did. Right. And I was shy and I was timid.
You couldn't even look at people in the eye when you talked to them.
I literally could not look people in the eye. I remember this guy telling me, I was 17. He's like, Greg, you got to look at people in the eye when they're talking. I looked up at him. I'm like, he's still looking at me. I'll look down. Like I just couldn't do it. I turned bright red. I was afraid of everything. And I had limiting beliefs. Like, no, this is just my luck. I'll always be poor. I'll always be broke. Life will always suck. And I was stuck in that. But I started reading and started getting exposed to more ideas and other people. And some point along the way, I just got this unstoppable conviction that we get one shot at life and that life will be whatever you make of it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, why not make it awesome? Because it's there. You have the opportunity. You can live a mediocre existence or this epic life. Like it's your choice. I'm like, I'm going to choose epic.
Yeah. Was there a book, an author, a character, a story that you still look back on today that you're like, that probably was a catalyst in some of that change?
Absolutely.
Lots of them.
Lots. But... Yeah. I'm like 100. I have a recommended book list of all the books. I have a book list for men. Rachel has a book list too that we recommend. This is actually really special. I was out on my own. I was living in this wretched neighborhood in this rundown shack of a house. I spent Christmas Eve and Christmas and my birthday. They're close, just by myself, just sitting in this. We didn't have adequate heat and I could see my breath in the air. I'm sitting there all alone. I'm like, this sucks. Like I never want to experience anything like this ever again. During that time period, I found a copy of a book and started reading it. Didn't even have a cover on it. And it ended up being a book called The Hiding Place by Corey Tendell. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And she became my first mentor, like guiding me through life and facing hard things. And I read their story about being in concentration camps.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, my life's not that hard. Like I got this. And they were grateful for it. And they were loving and joyful, even grateful for the fleas so they could study the Bible together with the other ladies. And then years later, we got to take our family to Harlem, walk down the alleyway, walk through the doorway into the old watch shop, walk up the spiral staircase.
Oh, wow. And get chills on. Again.
Yeah, me too. I get emotional whenever I talk about this because I got to get on my hands and knees, literally crawl into the hiding place and thank her there in person with my kids for mentoring me when I was 16. Right. And drawing me out of that pit I was in. And it was so special, so transformative. And then I read Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl around the same time. Luckily, somebody saw my handicaps and offered me a book called How to Win Friends and Influence People, which I so drastically needed. And I read that thing a lot of times. I read As a Man Thinketh by James Allen, totally transformed my psychology. I read The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale. And then I started reading books. Somebody gave me a book about Dirk Pitts. And I'm like, oh, this guy's cool. It was Clive Cussler books, right? And
adventure books.
And then I got into them. I'm like, okay, that guy's tough. I want to be tough. I want to do cool things. And so it just drew me out. I wanted to succeed. I wanted an awesome marriage. Yeah. All I'd seen is domestic violence and terrible marriages. I'm like, no, I want a phenomenal marriage. So I worked on it. I worked on myself and planned and prepared, read everything I could. I want to be a great dad because my dad was never around. He bailed when I was little and came and went. He just was never really there for me. I'm like, I'm not doing that to my kids. I want to be world-class dad. And so this is driving force, right? And it just keeps driving me to be the very best I can and live life. And again, wholeheartedly, I believe that God and the universe are conspiring in your favor and in our favor for us, right? Like God wants great things for us. Like, would you just open up and let him, like, he's going to take you through some uncomfortable spots, but just be like, thank you. Thank you. This hurts. Thank you. And keep going. Cause you can do amazing things.
Yeah. And we forget that, especially when hard times hit, you know, and just hearing all the different parts of your story is really encouraging to me because like you would experience failure or what people would label as failure. You would experience hardships. You would experience setbacks and obstacles. And I think it's actually really encouraging to hear when life doesn't go your way, because sometimes we get the perception that, oh, you know, we see your story, you're living this amazing life, we're following you on Instagram, and you know, you're all over the world. But to hear the hardships almost is really helpful, because we all experience hardships, we all experience failures, we all experience difficult times, and you didn't let them stop you. You learned from them, but then you kept going. You kept going. And that's super inspirational and uplifting for me.
Yeah.
It's a good point, because right now we live an Instagram life, man.
Right.
It's awesome. I'm like, hey, we had to earn this thing. So it's good. And there's still challenges.
Yeah. Well, and it made me think, and back when you asked the other question too about the advice, and what I thought of was just recently, we sat down with our family and we played this video that I made. I actually made it like 5 years ago. And it was essentially this 12-minute, what is it, photo slideshow of our first 10 years of travel as a family. Like it has like almost 4,000 photos and it's 12 minutes long. And we put music to it that means something to our family that we connect to. And we all sat there watching it. I can't even watch it without like coming to tears, right? But we sat there and watched it with our kids. Again, they've seen it before, but we hadn't seen it for a while. And it was so fascinating because when it was over, my 18-year-old son, he said, you know what? It was all worth it. Because he knows all the hard things that we've been through. He knows that it hasn't been easy, but just even watching, and it's not like he doesn't think that anyways, he does, but just watching that for a minute, 10 years of our life, and we've had more experience. Greg's like, you've got to add to this. We missed all these other things that happened. But even just watching that, it was like, it was all worth it.
It was all worth it.
So worth
it. I love it.
Yeah.
That's great. And then Greg, also, I wrote this down. There's never a graduation from education. That is a great quote. Yeah. Thank you for that. And it's all worth it. So I think that's a great way to wrap up the show. Where can people find you online?
They can find us on Instagram at World School Family and at Greg.Denning. They can find our courses and coaching at extraordinaryfamilylife.com, as well as our book lists. And then Greg's Be the Man stuff is at GregDenning.com.
Or BeTheManMasterclass.com. Yeah. And then the podcast, of course.
That's great. And we'll have everything linked in the show notes. Any final words?
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Thank you for doing this and spreading this message. Important.
Well, thanks again for being on the show, and we're stoked to do the podcast, and this has been amazing, and I feel like we now have new friends, so this is great. So with that, Jenna, any final words?
No, thank you guys for living your purposeful life and being great models for us and going through all the hard stuff so we can learn from it.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Traveling Homeschool Podcast, the podcast where we learn from families just like yours, sharing all the stories, the funny, the challenging, the heartwarming, and learning from each other along the way. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. Thanks again for listening.